The book of Colossians, chapter 1. If you have Bibles with you, say amen. Amen. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. And for purposes of understanding, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Do you see what I did there? Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, or some translations say are held together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that, or so that, in all things he might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. Father God, I need your help. I need your presence. I need your anointing. I need your mantle to fall mightily upon this word and upon your heart to this people. Touch us by divine presence and power and glory, and raise up in the hearts of your people your word to give us confidence and strength in this day that you've called us to serve you. Move me outside of myself today, Lord. Let me minister as another man sent from God. God will give you praise and glory for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can do better than that.
Amen.
There you go. You sound like a bunch of Pentecostals now. I want to talk to you today about preeminence. Preeminence. You'll find it down there in one of those verses, verse 18. And I want to talk to you about Jesus being the firstborn so that he might have preeminence over all things, to the church, most especially. The Apostle Paul speaks to the Christians at Corinth regarding the risen Christ, and he calls him the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits of the resurrection. He is the first fruits of them that slept, or of the resurrection. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 20. John the Revelator talks about Jesus, and he calls him the first begotten of the dead, or the first fruits of those that come from death. And Paul, again to the Romans, talks about Jesus being the firstborn among many brethren. He is the first fruit of much fruit. And then here in Colossians that I've just read to you as a text this morning, Paul writes to those Christians that he is the firstborn from the dead. And what I want to emphasize this morning is this, that he is the first fruits of the resurrection, or the first fruits of them that slept, so that, in your King James Version or whatever other translation you might have in your hand, it just says that, but the meaning is that Jesus did this so that, or the Father did this through Jesus so that, in order that this might happen. He raised him from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. First fruit of the resurrection, so that he might have the preeminence. Excuse songology. If you know me very well, you know I got as much songology as theology. And the songwriter got it right. Death could not keep her prey. Jesus the Savior. That ought to make you shout right there. Death could not keep the greatest of all enemies. Death could not keep her prey, Jesus the Savior. He tore those bars away, Jesus the Lord. The greatest enemy, death. Songwriter goes on to say, he arose the victor. He arose the victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever. Get this part. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. You ought to be getting some ideas about yourself from this word of God. He lives forever with his saints to reign. This message is about preeminence, but it's also about the preeminent one. You don't deal with preeminence without focusing on the preeminent one. In order to properly teach about preeminence, you've got to talk about the intent of the resurrection. Why was Jesus risen from the dead? Why, by the same Spirit, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you? Why do you deal with resurrection? What's resurrection all about? Well, it's so that the resurrection took place, so that there's a purpose, there's a reason for the resurrection. Why? There's a reason in you. There's a reason for you that the resurrection took place. God never did much of anything just to be doing it. There's an objective. There's a reason. There's a purpose. There's a goal. There's an end result in all that he does, in all that he desires to do. So the resurrection, the raising of Christ from the dead, the fact that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, is so that he would be preeminent. Everybody say that word with me, would you please? Preeminent. I want you to get it in your head. I want you to get it in your heart that he is the preeminent one, so that he would be preeminent over all things, period. Done deal. Establish the word of God that is yea and amen in him. He is the preeminent over all things, most especially to his followers and to the church. It's the first fruits of the resurrection. First fruits, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time doctrinally teaching this morning on resurrection, because I want to get to the last point of my message as quickly as possible, but he's the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first fruits of them that slept. Old Testament prophets had seen people come back to life. Amen? You remember reading in the Old Testament stories? You remember in Sunday school hearing about the prophets laying themselves prostrate on top of somebody's child or somebody, and then new life coming back to them, them being raised from the dead? In the Old Testament prophets had seen people raised from the dead. Jesus himself spoke life during his earth walk back into a widow's son at the city of Nain. And daughter of Jairus came back to life. And of course, probably the most famous story is Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, Bethany, that... Every time I mention this story, I want to tell it, because I see this as a picture in my mind of Jesus standing in front of a tomb and cupping his hands in front of his mouth and yelling, "Lazarus, come forth." And you've heard me say this, probably he had to say Lazarus. If he hadn't have said Lazarus, everybody in any grave would have come forth. Because he is, he told Mary and Martha this, he is the resurrection and the life. And when the resurrection and the life says come forth, everybody going to come forth. He speaks of himself later on, "I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." I saw it on Facebook the other day, and I thought, well, there's one good thing on Facebook. Hallelujah. That the devil doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Jesus took keys. You see, all of these people that we read about in the scripture that were raised from the dead and will die again. The little girl died again. Lazarus died again. They passed up because it wasn't time yet for first fruits of resurrection. By one man, the scripture says, Adam, by the one man, Adam, death reigned. Death reigned until up from the grave he arose. This isn't Easter, but I got a whole bunch of Easter lilies just blooming inside my breast today. I'm excited about this message about resurrection. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, here's a favorite line of mine in the Word of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. That's not talking about your husband, lady. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, We believe, say it with me, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive, come on church, alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And nobody in this house this morning dead except unto sin. Amen. I hope if there's somebody dead in the house this morning, they don't say amen. So I'll make a new door in the place if resurrection means that you come to something. Resurrection is not just deliverance from something. He is raised unto newness of life. You and I spiritually are raised unto newness of life. We walk, we live, we are able to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but we are to reckon ourselves alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. I just remembered a message that I preached here 100 years ago, and it was called I Reckon. Don't know what you want to do, don't know how you want to live, but I'm going to reckon myself to be alive unto Jesus Christ the Lord. If you want to reckon yourself to sickness, if you want to reckon yourself to virus, if you want to reckon yourself to destruction, if you want to reckon yourself to sin, that's your prerogative. But I reckon myself alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord, walking in divine health, walking in divine strength, walking in the power of God Almighty. Eternally, excuse me, I'm not a teacher of eternal security, but I'm eternally secure. Amen. Amen. Sin has no more dominion over you. Verse 14 of the same passage of Scripture. Sin, preach with me this morning. Say it together. Sin has no more dominion over me. You might sin, but it does not have to rule you. It does not have to possess you. It does not have to overcome you. It does not have to obsess you. Sin has no more dominion over me because Christ was raised triumphant from the dead. Death, death is swallowed up in victory. Paul talks to Timothy and he says, Jesus Christ has abolished death. And now he is exalted to the right hand of majesty on high. God highly exalted him, bestowed on him a name. We sang this a few moments ago, and it just blesses me every time it happens that the songs that have been chosen so coincide and so go along with what God has laid on my heart to preach. And nobody except me knows that in a service setting. But I'm sitting over here having my own private camp meeting while the songs are going on, simply because the Holy Spirit has orchestrated, set things in order. God highly exalted him, bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. Philippians 2 and verse 9. We're talking about preeminence this morning. And it's obvious that it comes from the term eminent. Eminent. I did meetings for a guy, pastor in Nigeria. And he insisted that all of his people and all of the crowds that would come to his meeting, he did have a great testimony. He insisted that they call him His Eminence or Your Eminence. And eminence, that's fine, I guess. Eminence is fine because kings are eminent. They're conspicuous. They're evident. They're distinguished. They're prominent. They stand out. That's what eminent means. But we're not talking about eminence this morning. Talking about preeminence. You can be a king and be eminent, but Jesus, the preeminent Christ, is King of Kings. You can be a lord over a certain area, and that's just fine. That's eminent. That's conspicuous. That's noticeable. That's recognizable. But Jesus is the Lord of Lords. You can be a governor, and that's eminent. If the governor of our state walked in here, you would stand and applaud. And just because of his office, because his office gives to him eminence. But the Bible says that the governments, the governments shall be upon his shoulders, talking about the preeminent Christ, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. The priests, I trust this would be so. If a priest were to enter your presence, you would honor them as eminent, noticeable, conspicuous, evident, distinguished, prominent. Jesus is known as the high priest. High priest. Preeminent. Preeminent means having the highest rank. There are levels of conspicuous. There are levels of honor. There are levels that we look at people and we talk about their office or we talk about their position, and for some reason or another, and probably justifiably so, we revere them because they are eminent. But they don't have the highest place. Hallelujah. They don't walk in the highest place. They don't walk in the heavenly realms. They don't walk in the heavenly places. Only Jesus is the preeminent one. Look at hallelujah. Look at Psalm 8. Years, centuries before his earth walk. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 6 of the same psalm. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Verse 9, the same psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I'm praying for you. Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, I'm praying for you. Chapter 1, verse 18, I'm praying that your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what is the riches of his glory, of the glory in his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen to this, and I'm not going to tell you where this is because you'll recognize it. And I saw heaven opened, and a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in them and clean, white and clean, and out of his mouth a sharp sword. With it he might smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture. Oh, I want to hear a shout at the end of this. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. That's all I'm going to talk about, resurrection or ascension or exaltation this morning. I know those of you who were here when Judy and I pastored here have heard me tell this message, and I like telling it because I get to tell on Judy. Years ago, when I was traveling as a missionary evangelist, I had a full corporation. They're called 501c3. It's a religious corporation, and you have to have a board of directors. And there were several people in the city here that were part of my board of directors for that corporation. Jim Gooding of the Gooding Grocery Stores. How many of you remember that here in town? Jim Gooding of the Gooding Grocery Stores was on my board of directors. I was on the other side of the planet. I was in Africa somewhere, and our car went phooey. Our car broke down. And so Judy, just in conversation, was talking with Jim Gooding's wife, Mary Lou, about the fact that the car was broken. And she said, well, we've got an extra car. Use ours. And here's what the extra car was, Angela. It was a vintage mark, no, a vintage town car that Jim Gooding bought just to put up on concrete blocks as an investment. Parked it in the garage. Nobody drove it. Just, this is going to be worth some bucks someday, and it's investment. That was the loaner. Just about the first or second time that Judy drove it any place, she was taking the boys. They were little bitty dudes then. She was taking the boys to the movie. And because the car had been setting up on blocks, had not been driven or anything, didn't run really great, and it died on Judy, turning into the Altamont Mall or someplace real close to there, the movie theaters. And, you know, Judy's not the biggest thing in the world. And so when the car died, there's no power brakes, and there's no power steering, and the car's still rolling real good. And Judy rammed right into somebody. Again, those of you that know Judy immediately went into Judy. Started crying, and oh my, we can't afford to get our car fixed, let alone pay for a town car. And so she mustered some strength somehow or another and called Mary Lou and said, "I just wrecked your car." Mary Lou said, "Are you all right? Are the boys okay?" Judy said, "Yeah, we're fine. But I wrecked your car." And here's the line that's meaningful this morning. Mary Lou said, "That car is just a thing. Car is just a thing. Thing, according to Webster." Everybody say thing. Thing. "A thing, according to Webster, is a matter of concern. It's a state of affairs. A thing is an event. A thing is a circumstance, a thing is a deed, a thing is an act, a thing is an object, a thing is a living being, a thing is possession, a thing is a detail, a thing is a point, a thing is an idea, a thing is a notion, a thing is a feeling or an emotion." Get ready for three really profound statements here. You're going to be so impressed with this. Number one, something is a thing. You didn't even write it down. Angela's got it down. I know y'all share that. I don't take notes either. Judy does. I can't read mine. Something is a thing. Do the second one, because that one was impressive enough. This one's better. Anything is a thing. I'm just reading your being so impressed. Third is everything is a thing. I want to reread something to you. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," so that in all things, "he might have the preeminence. All things, help me preach. All things. He is above all things. He is head over all things. He is first fruits of the resurrection. He was raised from the dead so that in all things he would have the preeminence. He would reign supreme. He would have dominion. He would have authority. He would have the highest place. He would have the highest rank. Your mistake is a thing. Your failure is just a thing. Your doubt, my fear, is just a thing. This is my verse. I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. My unbelief is a thing. My cynicism is a thing. Your depression. Oh, come on. Your depression is just a thing. Your discouragement is just a thing. Your success is just a thing. Your victories are things. Your wealth is a thing. Your debt. Just a thing. Your lack is a thing. Your addiction. Oh, I'm preaching. Your addiction is a thing. Your sickness is a thing. Your infirmity is a thing. Your pain is a thing. Your worry over the future is a thing. We're getting in trouble here. Your marriage. Is a thing. Only it might go this way a little bit right there. Your marriage is a thing. It's a thing. Your parenting is a thing. More trouble right here. Your children are things. At least that's what other people call your children. Your obsession is a thing. The high places in your life are a thing. The strongholds that set themselves up before you as a child of God are only things. Questions that you have are things. Your income is a thing. Your job is a thing. Your cares are things. Your burdens are things. Your cross is a thing. Your destiny is a thing. Your calling is a thing. If I know anybody called of God, it's Harry Medrano. Your calling is a thing. Your relationships are things. The hidden secrets of your life are things. Principalities are just things. Rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places are only things. Your planting is a thing. Your harvest is a thing. The writer of Hebrews pins this: thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. One more time. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Angel, we used to sing a song around here. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Everything about this world, everything about our existence on this earth is under the feet of Jesus. You are the body of Christ. You are the household of faith. You're His body. And if you're His body, your stuff is under His feet. All things are in subjection under His feet. He's the Lord. Let me do some more songs. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He. He's the everlasting Father throughout all of eternity. He's the preeminent one. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is even equal, let alone above Him. So I'm finishing this morning with this course, because I feel Him in this house. It says, in His presence, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. And nothing you got, there isn't nothing you're going through, there isn't nothing temporary or resident in your life that has rank above the name of Jesus. He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead so that you could have joy, so that you could have peace, so that you could have abundance, so that you could have life, so that something in your life would not take precedence, not take preeminence over the Lord of Lords and the King of all ages. He is the Supreme One. And I'm saying this, and I don't take it the wrong way. I don't care what you're going through. I really do care about what you're going through enough to obey God to preach this message this morning. My statement is this: I don't care what you're going through. His name is higher. And if there's something obsessing your life, if there's something controlling your life, if there's something prevailing in your life, it's because you some way, somehow have chosen to let it obsess, chose to let it prevail, chose to let it be Lord of your life. And you don't have to walk out of here like that this morning. There's deliverance in the house because He's raised from the dead. There's power in the house for deliverance because He's been raised from the dead. Your sins are washed away because His blood was spilt on Calvary's mountain. Everything about any of us in this house this morning, there's victory in the name of Jesus. He arose the victor or the dark domain, and He lives this morning with His saints to reign. Stand up on your feet with me, would you please? Father, I have asked You all week long, and I'm repeating it publicly this morning. Don't let anything walk out of this building this morning, this afternoon. Don't let anything walk out of this building contrary to the kingdom of God. Don't let anything walk out of this building in any believer, in any heart that would possess them, that would control them, that would override Your grace and Your mercy because of the choice. I pray this morning that every bond, every fetter, every chain would be broken in the strong name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Christ over every situation, over every circumstance, over every possession, over everything that possesses the mind or the spirit of any person in this house. I pray victory in the name of Jesus. I pray victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, you right where you're standing, you receive victory over whatever might exist in your life. Things that you think are paramount, things that you think are big, things that you think are huge, things that you think have to control, things, circumstances, situations that you think can't be broken. In the name of Jesus, they are broken this morning. There's victory in the house. There's victory in the name of Jesus for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. Take it in the name of Jesus this morning. Receive victory in the name of the Lord this morning. Let Him be in you walking out of this sanctuary this morning, the preeminent one. Jesus, you rule. Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you have broken the powers of darkness off of me. You have broken the powers of sin, death, and the grave. One more song. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every this tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is. Woo! Come on. In your life, in your situation, in your circumstances, He is, He can be, He will be, He wants to be Lord. Every knee, every kingdom brought down to the exaltation of His kingdom. Every name leveled to the lifting up of His name. Wow. I just feel the Holy Spirit doing such surgery in this house right now. Cancer be gone in the name of Jesus. Migraine be gone in the name of Jesus. Diabetes be gone in the name of Jesus. Pornography be gone in the name of Jesus. Lewd thought be gone in the name of Jesus. Fear and doubt and jealousy and hatred and anger and frustration be gone in the name of Jesus. Every power broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, surgically remove this morning everything that would exalt itself above the Lordship of Christ. Come on, get yours. Get yours this morning. Get yours this morning. Get yours this morning. Get your victory this morning. Get your... Bible says we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. There isn't anything that can't be overcome in this house because He's Lord. But Doug, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what goes on in my mind. No, I don't, but He does. It's not above Him. It doesn't surprise Him, and He's able to conquer by His power and by His blood. Jesus, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, be glorified in every tabernacle in this place this morning. Every life, every person. God, for what You do in us. Mm. What you do in us, we'll be cautious to give you praise for it. We believe that you're doing stuff in us right now. Then, Lord, because of what you do in us in days to come, when you're able to do something through us, I pray, Lord God, again, that you would receive the glory and the honor and the dominion in Jesus' name. I used to do this a lot in altar time, and I haven't done it in years. But because of our relationship and identity with this house, I want to do it again this morning. The Bible says the people of the Lord went out in battle against the forces of the enemy. And the instruction was that in the presence of the enemy to lift up a roar of praise, a shout of praise, lift up a shout of triumph. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, I want you to lift up a roar of praise. I don't care if you're the most bashful Bo Peep in this house this morning. You let your voice ring out. You let your voice be heard. You praise the name who is worthy of all praise and worthy of all honor. One, it's a shout of triumph. It's a shout of praise. Two, you need to be involved in it. Get ready and give it to the Lord. Not because somebody's asked you to do it, but give it to the Lord. He's worthy of praise. Three, give a roar of praise to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, for victory. Victory in your name, Lord. Victory because of your blood. Victory because you're raised triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for you. Hallelujah. 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 Victory over disease, victory over poverty, victory over defeat. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' power.
Hallelujah. 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 He is over everything. I hope you've identified by the Holy Spirit some things that you need to put under his feet. This is the takeaway. This is how you know that you were impacted by this message. This is how you know that your life was changed today. That you identify something that has crept in your life a little bit higher than it ought to be and has somehow supplanted the preeminence of God. You need to get that thing back down. Somebody say amen. Get that thing back down where it belongs, under your feet. Because the Bible says we are raised and ascended and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all powers and all prayer. What an incredible deposit of God's word today. Give some encouragement to our dear brother. Hallelujah.